Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Daugherty, founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop, and I'd like to personally invite you to learn more about how you can be involved in this powerful three-day intensive. The next Gateway to Freedom Workshop is coming up April 1st through the 3rd. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit us at gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Daugherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Radio listeners, welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Stephen. Hey, how are you, Stephen?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jonathan.
Well, we're going to continue on with our three-part broadcast series on this issue of sort of thought mile markers that people have when they're really starting to engage the process of living in sexual purity and this journey of sort of cleaning up some old thinking and some old patterns of sexual lust and learning how to walk in the light of purity. And so Stephen has compiled all of these comments that was received from all different kinds of guys, and these are just different things that are pretty common to come up in the process of learning how to walk in sexual purity. So Stephen, why don't you just kind of take us from where we left off last time?
We had 10 comments. I think we're going to stay with that theme of 10. And so here's a comment that was made by a man after he'd been to a retreat and really got all hyped up. He said, "When I got home, everything got worse."
Oh, man.
His wife found out. He talked more to her, and she dug deeper, and she faced it, and it got worse.
That's a terrible promotion for the Gateway to Freedom workshops, isn't it? Come to Gateway and things will get worse. You may want to expound on the whole idea of things got worse.
I really want you to comment on this because I think that's the first part of the healing process is it gets worse. You go see the doctor and they give you a bad diagnosis and they tell you you haven't been taking care of this wound, it's infected now, you got to have this treatment and that treatment, and you know, when you go in, if you're going to remodel a house, you got to rip down and put, you know, it usually gets worse before it gets better.
I'll tell a little story to illustrate this. When I was 16 years old, I worked at a summer camp, and I was one night we decided, they had a big rope swing, we decided at midnight to go jump off this rope swing, And in order to get the rope swing, it was so far down there, you had to throw this other rope from the platform down to the swing and haul it all the way back up. Well, once you were on the platform and you had the swing in hand, you were supposed to take that rope and throw it out and get it out of your way. I didn't do that. I jumped off. This rope wrapped around my leg about halfway down.
Oh, no.
I came to this halt. And what happened was that rope...
An abrupt halt, I'll bet.
That rope wrapped around my leg, and it put this... It did this immediate rope burn around my leg. Took off all three layers of skin. And so anyway, I was just trying to treat... We were just trying to treat it by just kind of keeping it bandaged up, and it formed this scab all the way around my leg. Eventually, it wasn't healing. Eventually, I went to a doctor, and he said, oh, no, you got to treat that like a burn. And then he said words I will never forget. So we just got to take that scab off of there. And I thought, how exactly are you going to do that? Well, they did it with a Brillo pad. And this comment, things will get worse before they get better, makes me think of that experience. Because you know what? Things got a lot worse in that doctor's office that day. I mean, I was hanging onto that table and gritting my teeth, and there was this very uncompassionate woman scraping the stuff off my leg.
But she got a wire brush out of her toolbox.
Put some sort of cream on there that she said, oh, this will help with the pain. If it helped with the pain, it just made it more painful is all it did. Anyway, I tell that story to say that until we were treating that wound correctly, then things did get worse.
Yeah.
And they had to get worse in order to be able to heal correctly. And I think this guy really keys in on a really big insight in what it takes to walk in purity. If you've been spending a lot of years living in the dark and living in lust and giving into your sin and the lies and all of that, there's a big scab that's got to come off of your life. And it's going to be painful, and it's not going to be pleasant. But you've got to do that in order to get to the right way to heal. And so I think that's the mentality you have to have.
And I think her being shocked and in disbelief and hurt is part of her healing process.
Absolutely, yes.
She has to start there. What is she supposed to smile and go, oh, good, I'm glad you're all torn up, a defective liar and you know, sexual misuser of women in your head. Oh, good. I mean, that's supposed to be, no. She's supposed to be devastated. And that's the beginning of the journey back. Mm-hmm. Number two, a gentleman said, I've been running two what-if scenarios in my head. One is, what if I never get over this struggle? What if it just stays and maybe gets a little worse? What if? And he said he was challenged by you at one of the seminars to really count the cost of what he's doing. And he said, if I don't get better, it gets a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he ran the what-if scenario. What if I didn't have this problem? What if I wasn't in bondage? Who would I be? And it created a whole new template for him of possibility. If I didn't have this problem, struggle, time-consuming, emotionally draining, secret, hidden, shameful, if I didn't have myself so in bondage, who would I be and what could I do?
Well, you know, that's one of the ways that I like to respond to people who have the what-if scenarios, because 9 times out of 10, a person who is working on this journey and they develop some what-if scenarios, they're all negative. You know, what if I never get over this? What if I constantly, you know, fail? What if, you know, my wife leaves me? What if? And I always try to turn it around and say, what if you do get over this? What if you learn to walk every day in purity? What if your wife stays and you reconcile? So you can play both sides of that coin on the what if scenarios.
And I think it's the positive that's freeing.
And right? But ultimately, where I really try to get anybody who's dabbling in the what if scenarios, whether they're negative or positive, is to actually change the question to not what if, but what is. Let's deal in reality, because what if scenarios, whether positive or negative, they're all fantasies. They're not real. They haven't happened yet. That's why they're what if. So instead of that, now I understand our minds are just going to go there, and that's part of what we're talking about in terms of these thought mile markers. These are mile markers, but mile markers don't mean it doesn't mean it's a rest stop. It's a mile marker, meaning, hey, what can I learn from this part in the journey to keep moving forward in pursuing purity? Well, what I hope somebody learns at the what if mile marker is, I need to change the question. What is in my life? what is the reality of my relationships? What is the reality of what I'm doing in terms of setting up boundaries and pursuing purity? What is the reality of the thoughts that I'm letting to remain in my mind? That kind of starts changing, I think, where a person's progress can start getting traction. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it does. That's good. So number three, he said, I have to be honest with myself. He said this in almost a confessing sort of manner. My worst fear or my worst times are idle time. Mm. My worst fear is idle time. Maybe I could say it that way. My worst fear is idle time.
Now, what do you think is behind that fear? What is so scary about having time that isn't completely filled?
I don't know, but you know, it's funny because I talked to another gentleman. He said, I work all day, and this isn't a sexual purity issue, but it's a statement about sometimes our heads are scary places. He said, I work all day, and then I have a part-time job at night. And I said, well, do you have a lot of bills or something? He said, no, everything's paid for. That truck out there I drive, it's paid for. Everything I own is paid for. I've got no debt. I said, why do you work a second job? He said, it's scary if I don't have something to do and I just sit alone with my head. Mm. So I don't know exactly. We didn't go any further into that conversation. But I do think, you know, we have fears and doubts and things that when you're alone, it's your head.
Well, this is consistent with what I think we come across a lot in guys, and I can even identify with this, is the idea that we're, in many ways, we're afraid of stillness.
Mm.
Because when things get still, all of a sudden, a mirror seems to show up, and we have to kind of look in areas that maybe we're not wanting to look in, or that we've hidden for a long time, or that we've covered up. And so I think this mile marker, to me, is an indication that, you know what, it's time to really work on stillness. That stillness or idle time is not the enemy. What you're actually afraid of is being vulnerable. You're actually afraid of really being transparent, because there's places in you that even scare you.
Right.
And so it's not the idle time that's the fear. It's the dealing with you that's the fear.
Yes. And so in idle time, my old solutions come up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the problem, is that my old easy porn solution wants to raise its head and take me away because I have idle time. So part one of the thought is, how can you use idle time better? And then the other thought is, what is the noise in your head that you hear in idle time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
good. So that's a good question to pursue and to journal and write down and talk about and capture, because we're really repetitive beings. And so we just say the same thing over and over
right.
in our head. If we could capture it by journaling it, we could clarify what it was. Number four. This was a great insight. This brother said, I must violently take back my innocence. I must violently fight for the kingdom. Now, I don't know if you like this word, but I enjoyed the fact that he was passionate about it and he was getting himself revved up, not lackadaisical, not halfway, not sort of, kind of, got to get there, maybe, try. No, I must violently fight for the kingdom, violently fight for my God. I must violently fight for my innocence because I want it back.
Those are definitely not two words that I would see side by side in the same sentence. In fact, I'm even on edge over here kind of just hearing it because, you know, I don't sort of define violence in that kind of context, and I think I get what he's saying, and he's obviously trying to be very, you know, exaggerating the
yes.
idea, because I don't think we, you know, violent, man, it makes me think of this snarl faced, you know,
out of control,
angry
yeah,
person.
Coming at
so
you.
I'm almost thinking, you know, I would use like word aggressive or being proactive or being taking initiative, because that is one thing that we talk about a lot in the workshops is being, because what the way he kind of what you have written down here about kind of what he said the alternative was, or hey, just passively go along. And the idea is that's probably what he's been doing.
Yes.
Most guys that we deal with, they've been very passive in their spiritual lives, very passive in their relationships in terms of developing healthy relationships, very passive in their connection with God.
And I think that's right. And if you say, well, we'll pray about it, or, you know, just don't do any of it. And I mean, it has this little namby-pamby sort of, you know, and it's like a man goes after what he wants. He aggressively, and then if you turn it up the next notch, what's above aggressively? Go for it. Means violently go for it. All out go for it. You know, some people play football and sports. They just throw their body. Everything they have is into the game, you know? And so, and I think, do you think Satan violently comes after you?
Absolutely.
Or do you think he's sort of half-minded about it, not sure, if I catch one guy today, okay.
Well, one thing I would capture, I think, about this particular mile marker is there's an aspect of being radical.
Yes.
And that's what I think is really captured in this mile marker, is there's a point at which somebody realizes, hey, you know what, if I'm really going to pursue purity, I mean, pardon my language, but I can't be half-ass about it. I got to be radical. I mean, I have to be somebody that's really saying, this is serious business. This is not just some little light weekend warrior kind of thing. And I have got to aggressively, violently pursue and protect that which is good.
And my hunch is there's somebody out there that needs that. If that fits you, you use that. If it doesn't fit you, don't use that. Mm-hmm. That's okay. We're serving a broad audience here, I think. So number five, then, is I really am afraid of the feeling of loneliness. It's very stressful to feel lonely, to think I'm all alone, I'm not a part, I'm not included, a part of, I'm not included in. I have such feelings of loneliness.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that, I mean, I meet guys all the time that this is one of those mile markers that comes up over and over again where, and these may be guys that are married, they may have ministries, they've got jobs, it's not that they're not maybe surrounded by people, but they're not connected to people.
Right.
And so there's this idea that, and I think this particular thought, I think the level of anxiety that a person can experience over this thought, I think, can increase over time if they're not learning how to connect in relationships. Because what ends up happening is, as a guy gets older and older and older, he may be married for 25, 30 years. He may have a career that he's got lots of accolades and affirmation from all these people. But he knows in his heart he's not allowed anybody in. And so there's this increased anxiety of, am I going to get to the end of my life and really die alone? I mean, nobody will know me.
That's a good way to put it. No one really knows me, and I have to protect myself and keep everybody out from knowing me. So he said, I fear this. And so we know we're not to walk in fear. And I think there's a difference between being alone and loneliness. Loneliness is a God-given emotion that says, get into fellowship. Get around people. And then do, as you say, Jonathan, open up. Because it's amazing. What do men say frequently after they've gone to group once or twice?
Well, a lot of times they say, I never knew that there were other guys out there struggling with the same thing.
And I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
They say those two things. I didn't know there were other guys. I thought I was the only one. So you have to deal with that thought mile marker. Number six is, I really don't like to read that much. I'm struggling because people tell me about all these good books, and I don't really like to read that much, but I think I have to start.
Yeah, and this is where I think there's been a huge benefit to the sexual purity movement, so to speak, is that there are much more materials out there. And I always encourage guys, listen, if you hit this mile marker, you know, there are guys that have just told me flat out, I don't read.
That's a terrible statement, you know?
And I'm like,
it's like, how do you learn? How do you grow? Where do you get new information?
Exactly. You know? I you know, I try to encourage them that, well, here's your opportunity to try something new, because part of recovery, part of being a man of purity, part of pursuing purity is you're going to have to learn some new things.
It's growth.
So time to read, you know?
And even if it's 2 pages a day.
Exactly. You just take it in the doses you can take it in, and it's better to get the truth in you than to just try to skim and read about the truth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So read your Bible. Read some good books on the topic of purity. And like we said, just take it in the doses that you can handle.
What have you read recently? Let's just talk a minute. Are you reading anything that's interesting?
Well, I'm reading more of leadership type books right now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But I am getting back into, I like to reread certain things. Like, I am actually, in our group, we're getting back into Mark Laser's Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction.
Oh, that's his basic book.
Great book.
Right.
Yeah. It's a really good book.
Oh, that's good. So I'm reading a book by Terrence Real on something like Why Won't He Talk to Me? And it's about men. He's talking about a term called overt and covert depression, mm-hmm. and how a lot of men are covertly depressed, even though they're functioning just fine, but they are closed up. And it's a real interesting read. So that was number 6. Number 7, if I'm honest, some days are really a 50-50 battle. I just don't want to. I'm tired. This goes on and on. Some days I feel like I'm on the mountaintop waving the flag of victory. And some days I'm in the dark valley sloshing through the mud in a rainforest, all damp and dark, and I got no fight left in me.
This is a mile marker where we have to engage reality. I think where we have to get honest about reality. Because if a guy comes up to me and says, you know, some days are 50-50 battle, I'll go, well, 100-0 are exceptions. You most days are going to be in the, you know, 70-30 to 50-50 range. I mean, it's just it is a battle. That's reality. Some moments you feel like, you know, working towards purity. Most moments you don't. I mean, it's just it's like a reality check. Because don't you think some guys, Stephen, they get this idea of, oh, you know what, the guys out there that are really, really walking in purity, they don't have 50-50 days, and you know, they don't struggle, and it's always a perpetual uphill, you know, just wonderful glide towards the heavens. And I just want to puke whenever I think that a guy is thinking that.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's a mountain that you crawl up, and then you realize that the trail just ran into a rock, and you got to go back down the other way.
You cross a stream. And
there you go. That's what purity is. The purity journey is like. Is
right.
Like, wading through the snakes and thorn bushes.
I don't want to discourage anybody who's in that place, because I know what that feels like. I mean, and it's not like I haven't been there recently to have a 50-50 day. I just want people to be able to hold on to a greater hope that says, you know, that's reality. And in that reality, we have a God who walks with us. We can have brothers who will walk with us. And we don't have to despair of having that as part of our reality.
Hey, I just thought of a great little new resource we need to develop. Although you hate for me to tell you new things.
I know, because then on the radio, I'm on the hook for it now, you know?
We need the brotherhood out there to help us with this. Let's do this as a giant community project. We need a 50-50 battle plan. You don't look at this book or resource until you don't know if you want to fight anymore. And the day you don't want to fight anymore, you grab the 50-50 resource.
That's
so
good.
If anybody's got an idea, we're open. We love feedback. So number 8, we've said this before, and I'm going to repeat it, but I want to emphasize one word. This man said, I get it. I finally get it. I have avoided this. I've hated hearing this, but this resonates within me now. I can't do it alone. I cannot lie to myself anymore. I can't pretend anymore. I can't suck it up anymore and be the strong man anymore. I can't do this alone. I created my lies and secrecy alone.
So I want to know, what's the word? What's the one word that really jumped?
I can't.
Can't.
I can't do this alone, because we can do a lot alone. and we can get in trouble alone. And a lot of guys use porn alone. And I have lied to myself, going, it's okay, I'm going to do better. I'll talk to my wife, and I'll show up in group at church, and I'll be in Bible class, I'll be alone. No one will know.
And what I like about this is there's a certainty to that. I can't. It's not, I might not be able to, or maybe I won't.
That's right.
I can't. Absolutely, I cannot do this alone. That's important to know, the absolute fact that there's nobody that can do this alone.
And let me play off that, because someone close to this brother, I'm going to weave him together with this brother, he said, and I call 3 men every day. Mm. Doesn't mean I talk to them. I left them a message. I said, I'm thinking about you. Yeah, it didn't mean we talked long. I'm checking in. I want you to know I'm praying for you. Boom, that's the call.
Yeah.
But I cannot hide under a rock in dark places. It's killing me to live in aloneness. Number 9, every morning I have to be honest with myself and recognize that I wake up to temptation. It is right there when I wake up. My brain turns on. I turn the television on. I see stuff in my house. Temptation is right there. It goes along with breathing.
And in that reality of that mile marker, I want to encourage you to have your very next thought be 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with the temptation. So in other words, with the temptation, it's a guarantee you're going to have temptation. He will provide a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. So yes, every single day, I too wake up to temptations, but every single day with every temptation I face, I know that God has promised he will provide a way of escape. So that's part of that growth process, is we understand this is a thought that's going to happen. Temptations are a reality, but there's always a way of escape. And that's good news. So we don't have to be all panicky and despair in every temptation we face.
Okay, so number 10, that's good, Jonathan. I'm looking at number 10, and this gentleman said, my wife gets angry. She gets irritated, and I get tired, of it, and I'm just tired sometimes, and she's angry, and I break down, and she's breaking down. And I have a new strategy when my wife is angry. My old anger response was anger. You're angry, I'm angry. You're tired, I'm tired. You want to quit, I want to quit. You don't care, I don't care. I just threw it back in her face. He said, now, when my wife is angry, I pray a blessing over my wife. I say a prayer of blessing for my wife. I bless my wife when she is fighting through difficult times. I don't get caught up in it.
You know, the word tells us a gentle word turns away wrath. So the idea is, this is a great, I mean, these are the realities of the mile markers that are going to come. Your wife's going to be angry at you. You're going to be upset. There's going to be emotions that come that are going to be difficult to deal with. But it's amazing how when we will calm our spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to bring in a moment of peace, that can have a totally different effect. Well, we're going to continue on with these mile markers next week, the final week of this particular series. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.